speaking. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. What has taken place, if you look at this, is they enter into a land that God tells them to go in. They're afraid of the people who are there and will be defeated. Verse 30, the Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all of that, you did not believe in the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go, in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. You may be seated. Now, although this is a descriptive passage for us today, for the most part, we're not wandering around out in the middle of the desert, not having a map or anything else. Through technology, we're most of the time able to know where we're at. Sometimes I find that Siri doesn't know where she's at and therefore tries to lose me at the same time. But that's okay. It's a glitch. I'm kind of amazed all that they talk about AI. I'm still a firm believer that no matter, and it's a blessing in a lot of ways that God has given people the talent to create those things, but I am firmly convinced you will never outdo the human brain because God created it. If we will listen to him, I know you will never outdo his wisdom and direction. But in a sense of what the children of Israel here are doing is they have seen all of this. They're coming to the point that we're nearing the land where they should be, and yet they're fearful. They're afraid of what's ahead because they cannot see it. All they see is the armies against them. Even though the Lord, through all of this time, has been the one to guide and direct them, and now they come to the point that they're fearful of that. And folks, that's like you and I even today. All that God has taken us through in our life, and we see the blessings, we see where he is there, and just as the scripture says, and there's plaques about footprints in the sand, and he talks about the footprints, there's two sets where you're walking with God, and then suddenly there's just one set of prints. And as the poem goes in that deal, it says, that is the place where I carried you. And he does carry us when we're too weak to walk, when the trotters are so troubled that he picks us up and carries them over them. And here is the same thing. God himself uses that analogy from where those footprints poem or prose came from, is that he is carrying you and I just as we carry a child when we realize that they're too tired or the way is too rough. We pick them up and we carry them until they're able to walk on their own or come to that ground part where it's smooth, the road has smoothed out. And oftentimes in our lives, God has to pick us up and carry us. I know he has to pick me up and carry me through those troubled waters and those times that the road is actually very rocky and steep. A few years ago, I was reminded of this verse just by chance. A friend of mine and I were looking at a job site on a transmission line, and we went out across the pasture that we were going to transverse with this line and with the trucks. And folks, ever so often, there was these little knob rocks that stuck up out of the wall, out of the ground. And it's almost like the road barriers they put when they don't want you to cross and there's that hump. Only these stood up about that far. We were in a four-wheel drive pickup, and both of us said, if we ever get out of here, we can go have all of our innards checked because everything bounced from one end to the other. It was just, as soon as you'd get off of one, you'd hit another one. And it was a very small piece, about a mile's worth, and it took us several hours to go through that thing because we could go so slow. But I was reminded about that verse of how Now, I wish that was where we could have been carried across that rough and rugged road, because that's what it was. And so he reminds them, the Israelite people. And we have to be reminded of that also. It matters not about our age. In the New Testament, over in the book of Mark, in chapter 10, if you look at it, we go to the other end of the spectrum, because these folks that he's talking to at this point, another generation has come up, but at the same time, those who actually left Israel are beginning to age. And as we know the scriptures, as they did that into the promised land, he had already said that that generation had fallen so far away, even all the miracles that they saw in front of them, yet they would not trust God. He said that generation would not enter, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua, who had been on that long journey. But in Mark chapter 10, notice what happens here. I'll tie these two together for you in a minute. Mark chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, "Then they brought the little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But Jesus saw it, and he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.' And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them." So in contrast here, moms and dads were bringing their kids before Jesus. He had done all of the miracles they had seen. He had heard about the stories of the countless numbers that he had touched and healed. And so they were of the mindset they would bring their children, which is most precious, or should be, to you and I. And they wanted him to bless them, that they would have a good life, that they would be strong, they would be not harmed in life itself. The disciples here began to look at it, and they wanted to shoo him away. Now, what's kind of ironic with that we just read, in one chapter back in Mark chapter 9 and verse 36, what we find is he again took that little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." Again, he's looking at the child. You know, one of the things when we look at this passage of coming as a child, we look at those young children. That young man was running around here. I told his mom, "Jerry Don, you better get ready. That's the next politician." He's going around up and down every aisle shaking hands. He was already making the way. He's on his way. But he's not afraid to come up to anybody. He's opened up. He's not been inhibited yet. You know, as we get to be adults, we're inhibited. It doesn't bother him to toddle around. If he falls down, he just gets back up. You and I, first thing we do when we fall is look around and see who noticed that we fell down. I'm going to tell off a little on my wife this morning. So, you know, she's had the surgery. She's tried. She says, "I can't wear my pants. It's too tight around where they did the surgery." Well, that's understandable. She said, "Well, I feel like I have to wear one of the old women dresses. You know, it just kind of flops on you." Nobody, it's okay. So she had her sandals on. It's kind of cool. And I said, "You really going to wear them sandals out there to church?" She said, "Well, you know, the rocks are all there." We've heard that from you ladies, okay? So, and I said, "Well, boy, I wasn't thinking about the rocks as much. Are your feet going to get cold?" She said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, wear your boots." So she put her boots on. And again, she don't have the real high boots, you know, because she's usually got jeans or pants on. She says, "I guess I really look good now." I said, "You know,
I said, I want to remind you, we don't go to church about how you look. I'm just pleased you feel good enough to get up and get out. And I said, I think everybody else is going to be happy about that too. You know, we don't worry about what we look. You know, one of the things about this church, even out there on the sign, we tell you, come as you are. It's not about what you wear. God will take care of what you wear. If you're not, you know, if you're not spiffy enough for him, I believe he'll be the first one to tell us we need to spiff it up. He's not interested in the external. He's interested in the internal, which is counterintuitive to our world. You see, the disciples had already heard this a chapter before. But they didn't glean what Jesus was saying at that time. He took that child and he set him on his lap. And the questions before that, if you read in 9 starting up in 33, the question is about who is the greatest. And Jesus concludes those verses I pulled out. He took the little child and he says, in order to be the greatest, you have to be the least, that you're like a child. Without the inhibitions, you trust. He comes again in chapter 10 and says, do not take the children away. Notice what he says there. He said, assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Kind of totally against the wisdom of man, isn't it? What it boils down to is that little child hasn't learned about pride yet. Sometimes we're too prideful. Well, I can't go do that. What would people think? I understand. I have that crossed my mind too. But I've also come to learn it's not about what people think, it's about what God thinks. That's where we have to take our actions. Back to where we first read. So with that said, what we have to look at is the fact that the children of Israel have had God perform miracles. You think things don't, you know, that we're in a different world? 2,000-something years later, the disciples are not catching on to what Jesus is talking about. Being the greatest by being a little child, the humility, the openness, the willing to come to him just as we are, the willingness to trust his way rather than our way. See a little boy back here, he follows mama and daddy wherever they lead. If mama or daddy walks into the fire, guess what? That boy gonna walk right there with them. But they're there to protect him. We have a Heavenly Father that knows how to be a better parent than we do. I watch Mama hover over him and Dad watch over him when he goes up and down the aisles to make sure he doesn't bother anybody or he doesn't get hurt. God is that same way every day for you and me. I kind of get tickled because I've watched him here for the past couple of weeks. And he just toddles on oblivious to everything that's going on. And I went, yep, there I go, Lord. And you're thinking the same thing his mama's thinking. Boy, can't you just be still for a little bit? You're wearing me out. If I'm not watching you every second, you're into something, boy. And you see, it's the same with us. As much as we look at that boy and we go, whew, wouldn't you like to have that much energy? God's going saying, whew, you're finally old enough, you ain't got that much energy anymore. I've been trying to show you along the way. And that pillar of fire and that cloud pillar, I know how he did for the people of Israel. Sometimes he puts that pillar of fire on my backside because I'm not paying attention. You see, it is no different. We get scared and afraid of what's before us, or the Holy Spirit lays on our heart to do something in a ministry, Or maybe it's the fact that we have to speak up in a world that we live in that is counterintuitive to God's word. And we go, yeah, but if I speak up and I call it out, what will people think? What will God think if we don't? This morning we took the Lord's Supper and we do it in remembrance of Him. As you read the ministry of our Lord, what if He operated on what people thought, rather than what the Father asked Him to do? How many of us would have been willing to take the beatings? How many of us would have kept our mouth shut and not said anything about the accusations? You see, God shows us over and over and over, and all He asks of you and I is to trust Him with all of our heart. To love Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. That's what He asks. Because like that little boy back there, he trusts Mom and Daddy right now with all of his heart, all of his mind, all of his soul. If they eat it, he wants it. If they go to it, he wants to go. I remember the big one back there. I always got in trouble for this, but it was still funny. When he was younger, we sat at a table with another couple and we're eating. I personally don't mind eating a lemon. Put salt on it and eat it. Jacob's reaching over and going, which meant he wanted it that age. Wasn't talking yet. So I gave him a lemon. A slice of it. Y'all ain't ever seen such a screwed up face in your life. When he And he did. He saw Daddy bite into it. He did too. And then it was... Boy, still won't touch a lemon today. Now, sometimes you can't help but be a little ornery, right? God wants you and I to trust Him. No matter what walk of life we are in, He allows you and I to be there for a reason and a purpose at that time. Sometimes maybe we're the difference whether some folks we work with do it the right way and what God has in mind, or they go on about their own way. Sometimes it's the same way just for us as individuals. We let that pride get in our way. We let the inhibitions of this world get in the way of doing what God really wants us to do. You see, the difference is a child comes with humility. We as adults come with our own thoughts and pride. And God says, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, you come with the humility and the trust. Follow me. We've had a couple of Sundays where I've talked about God doesn't care about our plans. He doesn't need our plans. We need His plan. For He's already seen that plan go through, that you and I will be blessed if we follow it. No matter what the age, He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Turn with me, if you will, over to Isaiah. Over to Isaiah chapter 46. Interesting tidbits that you can find as you read through the Scriptures. Isaiah chapter 46, God distinctly says, your age has nothing to do with His will and His care for you and I. In 46:4, the Scripture reads from the prophet Isaiah, even to your old age, I am He. And even to the gray hair, I will carry you. I've made you. And I will bear you. I will carry and will deliver you. See, folks, just because we get older in this old human body, God still sees us as His child. There's not a single one of you mamas in here, no matter what age your child is, that's still your baby. And we guys have had to learn that No matter what the age, I'm still mama's baby. And mama will always see that. And you see, that's the part of God where he sees you and I still as his baby. He says, I'll still carry you. I'll tend to you with whatever you need. So whatever you may be going through and you think that life is too rough or that it's something you can't handle, I want to reassure you that God will carry you through it. And if it be that he sees benefit that he should bring you home, even better. For all of eternity, he carries us through. No matter what it is. But the problems that we have on this earth, always remember he is in control. He has made us a promise he'll not put us on more on us than what we can bear. And I've kind of come to learn he'll not put more on us of what he can bear. I may think it's more than I can bear, but it's a nothing deal for him. He's got that covered. And he gives us the promise, just as he did Paul, that his grace is always sufficient. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct your paths. Let's pray.